Yeah. You know, I have an announcement that I'd like to make. At about 6:15 on Wednesday night, there are a group of people that meet in the choir room, and we're praying that we become a number 20. That would be twice the size we are tonight. We don't ask that you open in prayer, and you can pray aloud if you want to when we pray in there. And we all are in there to seek God's will and intervene for those on our prayer list. Amen. And we've seen God do miracles in our lives. Anyone seen God do a miracle? Has you ever seen him change alcohol into furniture? Amen. I'm telling you. I can't remember whether it was that gentleman who was from Cajun land who told the story about them two ducks, you see. I can't remember which one it was, whether it was Jerry Clower or that other guy that was a cook as well. But he talked about two ducks. It seems that Grandpa, on opening duck season, took his grandson, who was about 11 years old, and they go down to the duck blind, and they begin to wait on the ducks and quack like ducks. And two ducks come in and land, and Grandpa pulls out his double-shoot shotgun. That's a double barrel. And he unloads two shots, and them two ducks get up and fly off. He says, "Grandson," he says, "some people live to be 30 years old and never see a miracle." He says, "Grandson, some people live to be 50 years old and they never see a miracle." He says, "Grandson, some people live to be 70 and never see a miracle." And the little boy says, "Grandpa, what miracle?" He says, "Grandson, you just seen two dead ducks get up and fly off." All right, enough about jokes. Tonight, I want to take you to Matthew chapter 14. I want to read verses 22 through 36. The most important part of this entire passage to me is whenever we hear from Peter, when he said, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" And God saved him just like that. Amen. We begin to read in 22, and it says, "Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in the mountain apart to pray." Our Lord was a prayer warrior. Amen. "And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out of fear. But straightway," I like that word, "straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.'" And there's old Peter. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Shall we pray? Father God, we ask your blessing upon the reading of your word tonight. May it indeed serve the purpose that you intend for it to do tonight, to touch the hearts, and souls of men and women, boys and girls, so that they might understand the power of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Please have a seat. In the early verses of chapter 14, we see a word comes to Jesus that John the Baptist has been beheaded. That would be, in my opinion, a low point. If Jesus went through those things, we also will go through those things as believers. Many of us have lost loved ones, and we walk through that grief process. We also go along and we read the next several verses, and it talks about Jesus going up on the mountain or out in the desert, and he's surrounded by 5,000 men plus boys and girls and women. And in the midst of all of it, he says, we need to feed these 5,000 people, but we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus blessed it. And the remarkable thing was, is they took up 12 basketfuls of surplus food. Isn't it wonderful when God gets involved and multiplies the things that we have? Yes, a mountaintop experience, you see. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about 5 A's of God. In our first verses there, it says that God constrained his disciples. He assembled his disciples. He assembled his disciples, you see. They were all called by Jesus to be his disciples. They were all Jewish men. They were all witnesses to his mighty works and his miracles. They were not all the same. They weren't all the same height. They didn't all weigh exactly the same weight, you see. Their eye color might have been different. Some were fishermen and some were tax collectors. They indeed were all different. But later on, they would all be given different gifts of the Spirit as well to be used in ministry, you see. They were called to work together for the cause of Christ. I tell you tonight that God has assembled here at the Country Church his disciples. He has called us together and drawn us here. He constrains us here. He has called us by the Holy Spirit when one day God whispered our name and asked us to receive him as Lord and Savior. And we said, yes, come on in. And he came in and sealed us forever with the earnest money. For we are his adopted children. We cannot be left out of the inheritance. We have seen God at work in our lives. We have experienced his work in not only our daily lives. We talk about yesterday and forever we will see God's miracles take place. We are not all the same. Some are male and some are female. Some are tall and some are short. Some are thin and some of us are round, you see. We are not all gifted with the same spiritual gifts, but we are called to work together for the cause of Christ. And praise God, we seem to be trying to do a good job of it. Amen. In the early 1980s, I was moved from Little Rock, Arkansas to Elmendorf Air Force Base, Alaska. At the same time, there was a place called Wayland Baptist University that was going to open up an off-campus ministry in Alaska, in Anchorage. It was an answer to my prayer that God would allow me to further my education and Christian living, you see. The second thing I want you to see is that God assigns. In the Old Testament, he indeed asked Noah to build an ark. He asked Solomon to build the temple, and he asked Nehemiah to build a wall. In the New Testament, Jesus assigned his disciples to cross the lake and to tell them that Jesus is coming. We should be telling people Jesus is coming. Amen. To go and tell. They were to use their time, their talents, their energies in carrying out his assignment. They were to cover the distance across the lake of no more than 10 miles. And for 12 men in a boat, that shouldn't have been a big deal, you see. And once on the other side, they were to tell what they had seen. Jesus' people here at Country Church have an assignment to go and tell as well. We are to use our time, our talents, our energies to carry out his assignment. We are to tell our families. We are to tell our neighbors. We are indeed to tell our co-workers, and we are to tell our supervisors, strangers that we meet on the street, about our faith in our Jesus, that we know him, and indeed, we want them to understand we all have a personal testimony that we can share about how God changed our lives when he came into it, you see. We are called to lead people to Christ and train them up in Christ. It's not just the pastor's job, but it's all of us to pray for one another and watch over one another, you see. At about the same time, the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Association were in the process of restricting the number of missionaries in Alaska. Glenn Little was the missionary for the Mat-Su Valley, and he was most affected because there were going to be about 13 to 14 churches that were going to have to get pastors, or their missionaries were going to have to get jobs besides being the pastor. He would petition, but again, he would fail. But you see, God had a better plan. Indeed, along the way, God answers. And in my Bible, I have taken, by the way, and where it says constrained, I wrote the word assembled. One of those A's. Assignment is about crossing the lake. Then, whenever I get to the others, we'll get to those in a minute. But anyway, what I want to say is, God indeed assures, he assured Noah that it was going to rain. Build the ark, it's going to rain. He told Abram, that he was going to be the father of many nations. And indeed, he became that. He indeed brought about the growth of a place called Israel, a nation of people, you see. He assured his disciples, when doing something for God, expect difficulties, you see. The sea of life will not remain the same. The winds of change will blow across the bow of the boat. The waves of doubt will assail. Anyone ever been in the Gulf of Alaska? When you're in the Gulf of Alaska, the waves change from time to time. We were on a 42-foot six-pack. That's a fishing boat, by the way. It holds six fisher people and the crew. And we were out there, my wife had set it up, and we were on this 42 boat, and we got outside of Resurrection Bay, outside of Seward, and suddenly the waves went from being very nominal to where they were twice as high as the ceiling. And as you would go down into the trough and then get to the top, you could see the land around you. My wife turned very green. Most of the rest of us were turning green. And the captain, in a wise voice, says, we're going to move behind the island where the waves are only 10 foot. But sometimes we have to remember that there was a gentleman named John Newton who was a slave trader. And in the midst of a storm, he had been asked by a gentleman to talk about Jesus and the Bible and belief in God. And as the decks were awash, he saw that Bible float by. And on his knees, he cried, Lord, if you will save me, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And immediately the sun popped out and the ocean laid down. John Newton went on to write Amazing Grace and become a minister for Christ, and indeed fought against slavery all of his years, you see. When we are building up God's kingdom, we can expect difficulties. The work will not always remain the same. It may change. The winds of change, we age, the society changes around us. People move in and people move out. We've seen that in our lifetime. We may doubt our calling, our mission, our assignment, but God will affirm and assure us. We may doubt our calling, you see. Jesus comes to assure his disciples, yet he assured the disciples. He calmed the sea. He calmed the wind. He came to them in their hour of need, and he was not late. God has come into your life, and he was not late. He constantly is there. The forces of nature obey his command. Think about that. We're going to control the climate. No, I think God's in charge of that. Amen. God comes to assure us in the boat call the country church. He brings these words, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." The sea of life does change, and it seems that nothing is too big for Jesus when he's near us. Nothing's too big for us to attempt to accomplish if we're near Jesus. The wind of change calms down when we know that Jesus is near. The wave of doubt disappears at his presence. He will never leave us nor forsake us, for he is our Lord. About this same time, a guy by the name of Bobby Buster came to pastor First Baptist Church in Eagle River. He was a grace preacher. Our church grew, you see. God assisted along the way. We're talking about Peter walking on the water. God assists. He assisted David with Goliath in the Old Testament. He assisted Daniel with the lion's den. He assisted Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego when they were in the fiery furnace. One likened to the Son of God was there. He empowered Peter to walk on the water. He allowed Peter to sink when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He saved Peter when he cried out, "Lord, save me." He didn't walk over there and say, "Peter, you know, if you go out and do 16 good deeds, I'll save you. Well, if you just do this, I'll save you." It says he immediately saved Peter. When we cried out for God to save us, he did it immediately. He did not beat around the bush. He didn't go out and say, "Do good deeds." You know, we hear people always say, "I'm going to clean up my act and then I'm going to go to church." That ain't how it works. A fly fisherman standing on the bank cleans no fish until they're caught. Amen? And God's got to catch you before he cleans you up, because he gives you the power to overcome sin in your life. Amen? And because he can overcome the power of sin in our lives, he can continue to watch over us in the days ahead and help us to walk the straight and narrow path, you see. God empowers his people at the country church to do kingdom work. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." It's a natural thing that if you're a born-again Christian, that things change in your life. Your neighbor looks across the street and says, "Why can't we be like him? Why can't we be like her?" It's because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And we have to help them to understand that they have to come first to faith in Jesus Christ. When we cry out to him, he saves us immediately, as I've said, and that he indeed continues to watch over us in the days ahead. He bestowed spiritual gifts upon us to build up the kingdom of God. We don't all have the same spiritual gift, but we all are called. We are all children. We are all to serve. By his power and blessing, he will help us grow God's kingdom. We should dare great things for God and expect great things to be done by God in our lives. In the 12th year of Bobby Buster's ministry at First Baptist Eagle River, 6 young men surrendered to preach. It was in God's responding to the prayers of Glenn Little and others to provide leadership and pastors for the removed positions of the Matsu Valley. Man had a plan, but God had a better plan. He had the best plan. And indeed, God accomplishes, as we follow those last scriptures, we see God's people arriving on the far side of the lake, finally. And God accomplishes. He indeed, in the Old Testament, grew a nation from one individual and one family. And indeed, in the New Testament, we see converts in Gennesaret. His goal in our lives is to change us and make us more like him. His disciples reached the other shore. They left the boat, you see. They told others about Jesus, his miracles, his command over nature, his ability to save to the uttermost was on their lips. They told others about this Jesus. Others came to Jesus through their ministry. we are standing poised to move forward as a church. We cannot rest on yesterday's laurels, but we must move forward. We must continue to propagate the gospel wherever we go, you see. All the positions that were eliminated by the mission board were filled by men graduating from Wayland Baptist University in Anchorage, Alaska. You see, they would go and preach and serve God's churches in the Matsu Valley. God was aware of the need. God was hearing the prayers of the churches and the missionaries in Alaska. God was preparing others to serve in Alaska. I know, because I was one of those that took church in Alaska in the Matsu Valley. We must go and tell our story, you see. We must go and tell what Christ has done in our lives. We can't tell what someone else has had happen in their lives, but we need to tell them how and when and where God saved us and changed us forever. We need to say that He has called us by our name. And our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, etched by the finger of God. And that we are His children, you see. He gave you, indeed, His Spirit, the earnest money, the things that are yet to come, yet unseen, hope for the future and a better tomorrow, forgiveness and everlasting life comes only through Jesus Christ, you see. Matthew 28:16-20, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, in Matthew 28, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. You see, God is still with us. He's still a part of us. He has a plan for the future. Things that happen in our world do not surprise God. Sometimes people act like we should be surprised. But you see, God is never surprised, and He's never late. In our lives, we sometimes are put on our knees because God needs us to pray. And we need to understand that He responds when we do that, that He is the one who brings about the good things. The five A's of God, indeed, are God assembles. He did it in the Old Testament. He's still doing it today. But we must respond to being His child. His church must continue to grow and reach out. We must continue to do the things that we've always done, but we need to change some of the things that we're not doing that we should be doing, you see. There's a group that mow grass. There's a group that work in the attic, and they need help too. Wednesday or Thursday, you got an hour or two to spare. I'm sure they'd be glad to let you come in and help. It's remarkable what happens when you begin to help people. Sometimes it's remarkable because you see, you understand that except for God's grace, that might be you. You see that? In our lives, we've seen that, have we not? That God indeed comes. He does indeed assist. He does assure. He does accomplish His mission. And He wants us to know that He's still with us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. We indeed know that God was there when Noah was building the ark, and he preached for 120 years and only 8 people were saved. We know indeed that God was there when He sent Nehemiah to build the wall, and Tobiah and others came and began to complain and be jealous. You know, that's the problem with the Middle East, is they're all kin to one another. You didn't realize that? If you go back and look, Ishmael had 12 sons. Somebody else had 12 sons, didn't he? And they all want that land. And that's what it's all about. It's not something that happened yesterday or 50 years ago. It's something that happened 2,000 plus years ago. You see. But we seem to try to figure it out by some silliness when God has it all planned out. And we in our lives have to understand that God's always working in our lives and that He never indeed lets us forget. He assisted David with Goliath and Daniel and all those things I talked about, that He's there to accomplish even more if we'll but let Him. Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Our prayer is, "Lord, use me. Don't refuse me. Let me be used of you." And if you will allow God to use you, there's no telling what He can accomplish. You see. Tonight, we think on God's five A's. Tonight, we think on how God has worked in our lives. You see. Can we drift? Has anyone here ever drifted away from God? You know, the remarkable thing is He takes us back just like that. And He changes us. And when He takes our experiences that we had and makes us even greater as a witness, does He not? You know? I'm just amazed sometimes. I think a church should have one of those meters that says I'm full gospel, three quarters gospel, half a gospel, a quarter gospel, or no gospel at all. And there's some of them out there that I don't think have gospel anywhere in their book. But they say they are. But the reality is when we're full of gospel, when we're full of the Holy Spirit, God will use us in magnificent ways. I've told a story about my son. I'll also tell you one about going fishing. We went down to that place called Valdez, Alaska, where the oil pipeline comes in, and we went on a fishing trip with one of my leaders of a church, and we got on a boat with a nurse, as well as her son and his roommate at Oklahoma University, by the way, and University of Oklahoma. And we got out there, and the salty old captain was full of vinegar and curse words. And he began to talk about what we would see and what we would do when we got out by Bali Reef and we got out by the island. And he talked about sea lions, he talked about sea otters, he talked about glaciers, he talked about Bly Reef and this, that, and the other, and he used that salty language. He says, "Anybody got anything to say?" And I was led to say, "You know, Captain, we're going to see all those things that you said we would see. But whenever you anchor at Montague Island, I will walk to the back of your boat and I will catch 260-pound halibut." And everybody laughed. Now you have to understand, Valdez gets 240 inches of snow a year and it gets 240 inches of rain a year. And it had been raining ever since we got to Valdez. It rained all the way to Montague Island, but when he anchored down, the sun popped out. I walked to the back of the boat. All the other fisher people went to the front of the boat. I caught 260-pound plus halibut. I took my rod and put it back in the rod holder and went in and sat down in the cabin. And here come the salty captain. He sat down across from me. I don't think he was brave enough to sit by me. And he said, "How did you know that? You must have connections." I said, "I do. I have a great connection. As you can see, it did not rain on me while I fished. And I had prayed all the way out here, 'God, don't let it rain down the back of my neck while I fish.' And I caught 260-pound plus halibut, and I came inside and sat down. And you're wondering how I knew. I'm going to tell you, I didn't know. I just spoke it, and God did it." And the reality is sometimes in our life we have to speak it and God will do it. Amen. But it was funny because no one would go to the back of the boat and fish. They caught no fish. But being a good Christian, I divided my fish amongst them. Sometimes in our lives, God gives us a great witness. We need to use it. We must let our light shine and expose to others our faith lived in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We must use our spiritual gifts and lead others to Christ so that they know Jesus. Jesus, tell them about our Jesus. One cannot come to Jesus until they realize that they're lost, you see. Without hope to ever stand before a righteous and holy God, you see. No one can be justified based on their life's work. No one can be justified based on their economic status. No one can be justified by their social standing. And no one can be justified by their lineage. It's all about faith in Jesus Christ. I speak again about the fishermen in the river. Uncaught fish are never cleaned until they're caught. We may think we can clean ourselves up, but we don't have the power till we have given our lives to Jesus Christ to overcome sin in our lives. Amen. To resist it to the fullest. We may think that. We indeed have to realize that our lost condition and bend our knees of our heart and confess our sins and acknowledge our helplessness to save ourselves and repent and ask Jesus to come into our heart and indeed to be Lord of our lives. And He will do it. And when He becomes the Lord of your life, you can lay all your troubles at Jesus' feet. And He takes care of them. He has continued to do that. He has done that in the war zone. He's done that at other times in our lives. And we have to say that God is a great God and we can expect great things from Him. Tonight, those five A's, that God indeed comes and assembles, He comes and assigns, He comes and assures, He comes and assists, and He comes and accomplishes things. And the things that we accomplish for Christ will last forever. They will not go away. They are permanent. And we must pray that God would indeed continue to pour out His Spirit in America, that we might have a great revival, bigger than the great revivals of the past history. That we need to know that God can do that, and we need to have faith that He will. Let us pray. Father God, as we have tried to share tonight, the five A's of God, how You work in our lives, how You continue to watch over us, how You continue to pour out Your love upon us and continue to use us for Your kingdom, that You would continue to help us grow in the days ahead, that we might indeed win some for Christ, that we might win some more for Christ, and that this might continue to be a place that rings with salvation, true, that this place might be filled by Your Holy Spirit, and that we might yield to its call upon our lives, and that we might indeed continue to be the person who can help direct others. We are just blind beggars that have found food. Let us tell them about our Jesus, who can feed us all and take care of us, not only spiritually, but physically, mentally. And we ask the Lord that You would do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tonight, would you stand? And as we sing and sing unto the Lord, we allow His Holy Spirit to take what we've heard, to speak to our own hearts and to make the decisions that be pleasing to Him. If you're not saved, boy, this would be a great night to be saved, because today is the day of salvation. And we're not to harden our heart, but just to open it to the Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, be saved today. If you're here and you're saved and not identified, not planted in the Lord's church, then you need to turn loose. Let Him have His way. Ask Him. He'll lead you. Whatever that decision, we make it for His honor and glory as we sing.
Just as I am,
just like You are,
without one plea, but that Thy blood was
the Lord paying the price
for me,
and us allowing Him to have His way.
Come to Thee,
Lord, I'm coming. I'm making that decision tonight.
God.